As the world prepares to mark the one-year anniversary of the downing of Flight MH17 over Ukraine, a team of international investigators continues to plug away as trying to uncover the truth about what really happened. And they're getting some help from perhaps an unlikely source. A citizen journalist website called Bellingcat has been working on the sidelines gathering evidence on its own. Russia has blamed Ukraine for the missile attack, which killed 298 people, including, of course, 38 Australians. Ukraine, in turn, has blamed Russian-backed rebels, as has much of the rest of the world. British-based blogger Elliot Higgins, who says his website has tracked the movement of the missile launcher believed to be responsible, spoke to Cathy Van Extel about the work his group is doing and what his team of citizen journalists has actually uncovered so far.
In the case of MH17, I actually have a team of 9 volunteers who spend their free time looking at the MH17 case and wider issues, including the entire conflict in Ukraine. And we work collaboratively. We're based in different countries, so we work online. But we use what we call the open source information. This is information available to anyone to do our investigations. And there's a huge amount of material that's very relevant to MH17 that's out there.
So what's the process then in trying to piece together what happened?
To give a basic example, there's one core methodology we use. It's called geolocation. And it's basically using photographs and videos and figuring out exactly where they were filmed as part of the process of verifying the content. We were able to identify where the missile launcher was on July 17th. We can track the movements of it through separatist-held territory. And we can show it's on the same truck. It's, you know, the route it took. You know, we've got photographs, videos, people posting about seeing it on social media as it was traveling through their town. We know it went to the town of Shizne where it was unloaded. It drove out of the town heading south into an area of fields that was about 2 kilometres away. We then have lots of information that shows the missile was launched from those fields, you know, local people talking about it, photographs of the smoke, other information as well. And then at that point, it travelled to a place called Luhansk that's close to the Russian border. And on July 18th, it moved out of Luhansk into Russia. We've also found other information. For example, in one of the photographs that was taken in separatist-controlled Donetsk on the morning of July 17th, you can actually see the side of the missile launch very clearly, and you can see markings on it and damage on it. And we were able to match that perfectly with a vehicle that was seen inside Russia between June 23rd, June 25th as part of a convoy. And we can confirm that's the same vehicle based off this damage and markings, because we've checked all the other Buk missile launches we can find, and there's none that are anywhere close to matching. So we were able to track that missile launcher back to the base it came from, which is the 53rd Brigade based outside of Kursk. So we now know that was the brigade that provided the missile launcher that shot down MH17. And one thing we've been doing recently is putting together information about that brigade and passing it to the Dutch police as part of the investigation.
How much involvement have you had with that official investigation?
Well, I've now been interviewed twice as an official witness, and we pass on what information we have. In the case of things like the names of people, we pass it on well before we publish anything, just to make sure they have enough time to do whatever they need to do with the investigation, because it's a, you know, for them it's a lengthy process, because they have to double check all our working, fill in a lot of paperwork as well. So it's a very slow process for them, whilst we can kind of do stuff a lot more quickly than they can. The other thing is, this is kind of a very new style of investigation, so they're kind of in a way learning as they're going, and you know, they've got to get this perfect, so it's very time consuming for them, because they have to consult legal experts, they have to kind of teach themselves how to do this as well.
You haven't been trained in this field though, and there has been some criticism about the methodologies and some of the findings that you've put forward. Do you accept that you could be getting it wrong?
Well, I mean, anyone can go and double check our working. I mean, all the information we use is kind of open and available to the public. For example, when the Russian Ministry of Defense gave their July 21st press conference on the downing of MH17, they produced satellite map imagery, which they said showed areas on July 14th and July 17th in Ukraine that sort of showed Ukrainian Buk missile launches moving. We actually purchased satellite imagery of one area from July 17th and compared it to what the Russians presented. And there's huge discrepancies between those images. So, for example, in Russian imagery, you can see this large area of vegetation that's just absent in the July imagery. There's kind of large patches of worn away grass that, again, are absent in the July 17th imagery, but are actually visible in imagery from June that's available on Google Earth. And this is imagery anyone can go and have a look at online and check for themselves. And the thing with something like MH17, you're always going to have people attacking your work because people have their own agendas to push. You know, people are always going to say it was a Ukrainian Su-25 that shot it down, whatever evidence you present them.
What is it that you think happened on July 17th?
I personally believe that it was an accident. accident and what happened. They were probably looking for other aircraft and incorrectly targeted MH17, but I do believe it was a Russian Buk missile launcher that had been moved into the country by the Russians. And one thing people forget is there's actually a huge amount of equipment, soldiers, involvement from the Russian military at that time. They were already sending over vehicles, soldiers and equipment to support a push by the separatist forces there. And I've been working with the Atlantic Council on another report called Hiding in Plain Sight, where we've documented this.
You mentioned that you've handed over a report to the Dutch investigating team, which identifies some of those individuals involved that you've identified via your research. How important is the current push for an international war crimes tribunal, and how do you believe that the work that you've done might play in that?
I think the only way you can have any chance of actually, you know, finding the culprits and, you know, actually get them into a court is by having an international tribunal, because Russia knows it's guilty. Russia is not going to start saying, okay, it's fine for you to interview these soldiers who are part of this unit that provided the Buk missile launcher, so they need to be compelled to do so. Russia has absolutely no interest in the truth being found out about what actually happened, and they're going to do everything they can to block these kind of international tribunals.
Elliot Higgins, you first came to mainstream media attention in 2012 under the pseudonym Brown Moses. You were identifying weapons in uploaded videos from the Syrian conflict. What role do you believe this kind of citizen journalism is playing in our understanding of these modern global conflicts?
Well, I think there's been an interesting change over the last few years. You know, back in 2011, this is something that very, very few people were doing. During the conflict in Syria and the Arab Spring, there were more and more organizations like Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, kind of looking at this and saying this is actually useful for understanding, you know, war crimes and, you know, violations of human rights in, you know, countries that would otherwise be overlooked. But a big part of that was verifying this content and understanding it. What's been interesting this year is now with the groups like at the Atlantic Council, for example, using this information to examine the conflict in Ukraine, there's a lot of interest now from policymakers, governments, even militaries in this information. And, you know, I've even spoken to the International Criminal Court, who are very interested in saying, how can we start using this as part of criminal proceedings?
That's Elliot Higgins, British-based blogger, citizen journalist from Bellingcat, speaking with Cathy Van Extel. And later in the program, I'm going to be joined by the official investigative team, a representative of the OSCE in the Special Monitoring Mission, talking about the limitations that they are coming across.